You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Kang Sung Lee. Kang, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Kang, let's talk about your work. I was going to ask exactly what's happening in your studio now, but I imagine you're getting ready for a show in Korea. Is that correct?
Oh, that is correct. And I'm working on a new project for that show and still in progress and has no title yet. But that's the project that I'm working on at the moment in my studio in Los Angeles. And the project is loosely based on the biographies of three artists from different generations and places who died of AIDS in the 1990s. They are Derek Jarman from the UK and Sein Oh and Chun Soo Oh. Those two are from Korea. So the point of departure for the project is Derek Jarman's garden in Dungeness, UK, and lots of objects and assemblages he created for the garden in the early 90s before his death in 1994, I believe. So last year, I was invited to Jarman's garden for research by Keith Collins, who was Jarman's last partner, and was very happy to gain the access to his garden and the cottage. So I've been doing that.
Well, so let me just stop you for a second. So this was part of, obviously, your research into his life, and that's some pretty special access. Because the project itself is essentially three biographies. Is that correct?
It's based on those biographies of three artists who all died of AIDS. So that's like the point of departure. But the project and the exhibition will be basically a multimedia installation that will consist of drawing found objects and ceramics and other sculptural objects that I've been making, partially appropriated from Germans and the two artists, object making and writing. So what I'm looking at is basically this project is sort of like an exploration of this idea that memories not only belong to human beings, but also to other beings of the planet. And there are different ways of writing histories, not in the traditional sense of human language, but history of disease through like invisible connections between humans and objects and memories sort of carried by the nature. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, yeah. I'd like to talk about that more. So, I mean, you're talking about the feeling that's kind of imbued in an object that also someone owns when it's held by someone else as well. Is that part of what you're saying?
Yes. So I'm looking at like these objects and also like assemblages made by and touched by this artist, and somehow sort of inherit them, and sort of like I see the possibility of sort of, you know, all this history is actually carried by these objects. So it's kind of romantic idea, but I really believe in that idea in a way.
And so I believe in that idea too. I like that. And how will the whole show be set up? This is a solo show. It seems kind of, and you're working in LA now, is that correct?
Yes, I'm working in LA, and this show will happen in a gallery in Seoul, Korea. It's scheduled for this fall. And so it's a solo exhibition, and so I'm going to make some works from LA, and I'm going to go over to Korea and make some objects, such as, like, if I give you an example, I'm making some ceramic pieces using soil and clay that I collected from specific sites, like where these artists were buried in the mountains. So I'm kind of looking at, you know, like the nature sort of carrying their memories and as a metaphor for that, especially in a place like South Korea, where the history of disease like AIDS and the lives of queers have not been really written properly or completely erased from the mainstream history or sort of knowledge, you know?
That's very interesting. And so you're still in the research phase of this, it sounds like.
So I'm still doing all the research. I have another trip scheduled for Derek Jarman's Garden in the UK, and also I'm currently I'm teaching in art college here in California, and once the semester is over, I'm going over to Korea and really going to start making more objects after those trips, I think.
More objects in what sense? You mean... in adding on to that project, or that'll be another project when you're talking about making more objects in that way?
Yeah, so I'm in the still in the phase of like doing more of research, and I'm gonna make work sort of is based on my research. So like I'm doing lots of research, but haven't really made like physical work. A lot of work for this project and exhibition yet. So I'm really going to focus on really making the work during this summer, I think.
That's exciting. And this show seems different than, I mean, not different, but it departs a little bit from your other shows and it being such a direct kind of investigation of those lives, but perhaps not so differently the way you look at objects. Let's maybe compare this show to a previous show that you've done, just to get a little more, you know, so everyone gets a little more perspective on your work. It could be I don't know, the last piece, Untitled, or even your wall project. If you want to talk about that, do you want to talk about one of those in contrast
to
this a little bit?
Sure. So this. New project is a little more abstract. I usually, my works are project-based and also research-based. So my past project that I completed last year and I showed at ArtPace in San Antonio was called Untitled La Revolution es la Solución. So the revolution is a solution. So a solution that was sort of based on the work of photojournalist works taken during the LA uprising in 1992. And my process was sort of using drawing as a thinking machine and also in a way like embodiment of history. So what I did was I would choose photographs from 1992 and remove human bodies from the original images, and then sort of re-render in graphite on paper, like landscapes, landscape drawings without any human bodies. And then using those as sort of source material, I would create like wall installations or neons and drawings over wall installations, or I also did large tapestry works and things like that.
So in comparing it to the one that's coming up, I mean that's in some ways relating also to humans in a different way. I mean those are being erased in the one you're talking about. The revolution is the solution, but in the in the current show where you know, these are three people that died of AIDS. It's also I don't want to draw a parallel that's not there, but it also seems about, you know, maybe memory and erasure a little bit.
Yes, definitely. That's what's also happening in my new body of work, and I'm actually doing drawings for the project, the new project, based on like found images or the photos that I have taken from the garden and things like that. So smaller drawings with sort of human bodies erased will appear in my upcoming project as well. But also there's going to be a lot of other objects with more abstract forms. That's, you know, what I'm more interested in these days. So sort of like making works directly out of my research or historical materials has been a big part of my work, but this work, like the new for the new project, I'm trying to change a little bit of that.
And yeah, and that's interesting. So there will be more objects in this new project, it sounds like, and what will happen with the new project? I mean, just to talk about a little bit how these move out into the world or not. Will it be disassembled and stored, or would this ideally go into a museum or a private collection? How do you see this moving? What's the process for its afterlife of the show?
Well, so once the show's up, I think like I have less control over, you know, the works that I'm making. So some of them might go into private collections, some might go into public collection, you know, I'm not so sure. And my works are usually like installation based, although like it consists of drawings and other objects in it. But as a project, it's usually in a large room installation. So sometimes, you know, the project only exists as documentation, and some fragments of the installation might be sold, you know, will go out to the wall in its own form, I think. So, yeah.
But in this next show, how do you imagine it? Because I ask because it seems like it is one large installation, although it sounds like it's not. Parts could be broken off, or how do you see this one coming up?
Yeah, I'm looking at it as a large installation, but also open to the ideas to break up in different parts, you know? So those smaller parts of the installation will probably have their own lives, hopefully. And some will not be, you know, actually, you know, they will only exist for installations. Also, I'm using like materials from the nature, so some of them will not be in archival and things like that. And some of them will only exist as performance piece and documentation of performance. For instance, I am moving like natural tables from one place to another. For instance, you know, from the site where the Korean artist was buried in Seoul, I'm picking up a pebble from the site and I'm moving that to their German's garden in Dungeness, UK. So, and the vice versa, I'm getting one pebble from their German's garden and moving that to this, you know, site in Seoul. And that's like my very small and personal and private gesture. Can be also called performance, but I'm not really like looking at it as public performance, and that could only exist sort of like in my memory or a small snapshot of documentation, and those will just have life in my own memories, and maybe the performance is not for a human audience, but more for the nature as audience. So I'm looking at in those things that way as well.
And so what will the audience be like there as well? I mean, just to talk a little bit about if there is cultural differences in Seoul, Korea, and in LA in terms of the viewing public, because you're traveling there, what do you imagine is the difference? Is there one? Sometimes I hear, as I talk to people in different parts of the world, that, you know, there some place like Berlin, everyone's talking so much and so active, whereas London, people aren't saying as much. I mean, not to generalize too much, but is there something you expect or not from the the art crowd in Seoul?
Well, in fact, you know, I don't know about the art crowd in Seoul very well. This will be my first solo exhibition in Korea, although I am from there. I left Seoul quite a while ago and have lived in other countries since then. And so like this is actually like returning to Seoul and showing my artwork at a solo show like for the first time. So I'm excited about that myself, and I'm curious. What I know is that there are less discussions on queer cultures, especially about the disease, like AIDS is still sort of like really stigma more in Korea than like compared to the US or Europe, but also that's changing a lot, I hear. So,
That's very interesting. So that's what I meant. That's a big difference. If queer culture is not something they hear about, think about, those kind of things are very new culturally, you're saying, to them. And that language isn't understood the way it is, let's say, I don't know, New York or L.A., it sounds like.
Sure. I mean, there is long history of, like, queer art making and in Western culture. And compared to that, there's definitely difference in Korean culture and Korean contemporary art history. But also, I think there's like lots of things happening right now in Seoul, and it's really dynamic. And I am very happy to be part of that and see how my work that speaks for, these lives lost and the disease and the long history. History and the struggles of these artists and, queer artists and their legacy. And I will, very be excited to communicate about those with people in Seoul.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, art is this language that that can contribute to activism in different ways, right? I mean, I've interviewed people about, like the Dubai Art Fair and all different parts of the world where there's different issues with civil rights and a kind of consistent, well, maybe not consistent, but I often hear it. And we don't think of it so much, I don't hear about that so much in the United States, but in other countries, even as what you're talking about, it can be a tool for kind of awareness of social change, of cultural trends, right, of thinking, right? I mean, even things like, I haven't talked to anybody in Japan about, like, Me Too movement, but apparently there, it's like, it's not going so well, There's all these things in different countries that art can be a bridge between, is what I'm saying. I don't know, does that seem to make sense to you in the context of your work without making it too activist-oriented? But, it is.
No, I definitely look at it as part of activism. Maybe it's not as direct as social justice movements per se. It's more like indirect and slow process of creating awareness, but also it's a really good platform to create conversations surrounding these issues, And I think art has always been a good platform, also good place for those conversations, historically.
Absolutely. Khan, it's great talking to you about this. I wish you great luck in the upcoming show. Before I ask the last question, is there anything that that you want to add, that you want to plug about the show, or that I should have asked and you want to say before I ask you the last question?
No, it's been great, and thanks for the great questions. I'm really happy to share these new ideas about my upcoming project with you.
So let me ask you this. What are you reading at the moment, if you don't mind answering?
So currently I'm reading a collection of Jimmy Durham's writing, the artist. It's called Waiting to be Interrupted. So that's like a compilation of selected writings between 1993 and 2012. And that's really great.
Khan, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.